Good morning to each of you. Greetings in the name of Jesus. I've been encouraged and I've been blessed to be here today. And happy Father's Day to each and every father that's here this morning. Thank you, brother. I just marvel at how God moves in a service. You know, Brother Gerald opened up this morning with scripture that just laid a foundation for what God has laid on my heart this morning. And different of you that are here this morning has played a part in this message. There was a conversation Wednesday night after church between one of our youth girls and my wife that gave me inspiration for this subject, that kind of built a framework for me. Dwight Moody, or D.L. Moody, was just starting in the ministry. He's sitting in a service and he hears a preacher say these words. He says, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man that is fully surrendered to him." Moody said that night, "By God's grace, I will be that man." And it's said that Moody shook two continents for God, and over 1 million souls came to Christ under his preaching and ministry. He went on to say that Moody had little formal education. He was not a polished speaker, but God greatly used his life. The title of the message this morning is "The Surrendered Father." As you sit here this morning, whether you have a child on your lap, or whether you have a grandchild sitting beside you, or whether you're a young man, or a young woman, or a mother, or a widow, and as you think about being surrendered in your life under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, what does that look like to you? What does surrender mean? What is the definition of surrender in your life and in your situation and your circumstances you find yourself in this morning? In literal definition of surrender is to give up something to another person, or to relinquish something that was given you. And that would include your possessions, your power, your goals, and even your life. That is a definition of surrender. The Christian today, we hear about surrender, we talk about surrender, we desire surrender, but what does it mean? I have a quote here, says, "A surrendered life is the act of giving back to Jesus the life that he gave you." The act of giving back to Jesus the life that he granted you. It's relinquishing control, rights, power, direction, and all the things that you do and say. It's totally resigning your life over to his hands to do with you as he pleases. That is a quote, but I believe encapsulates the heart cry of the Christian gathered here this morning. We sing the song, "I Surrender All." And in July 2 of 1905, there was a young man by the name of Bill Borden, or William Borden, who was attending a church service in London, and the series was on assurance of salvation. And this man sat in this service, and he said he was deeply moved. And after the service, or after the sermon, there was a soloist that sang this song, "I Surrender All." This man, William Borden, with depth of feeling, it says, stood with several others and sang the chorus, "I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all." It says he was 17 years old. Young people here this morning, is that your burden? Is that your heart's cry to give God everything? And I know it's a Father's Day message. I know the title is Surrendered Fathers. But if you're here this morning, hear the heart of this message. God is calling us as his people to be surrendered. The story goes on with this man, this William Borden. He was an heir to a very wealthy family. It says he returned home from that service and gave away his fortune and prepared for service among the Muslims of China. And it says he died of spinal meningitis while he was en route to China at the age of 25. It says his story has influenced people, generations of people. And his life slogan was no reserve, no retreat, and no regrets. This morning, dear friends, if we can get a hold of being surrendered to God, maybe that can be our life, what we're remembered by, even if we die at a young age. I would like to read this hymn before we go into the message. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessing fall on me. All to Jesus I surrender, now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation, glory, glory to His name. The chorus goes, I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And that is a burden I have this morning in this message as fathers, that we would be surrendered fathers as we lead our homes and as we guide our homes. Turn in your Bibles, just not for a text, but for a verse, to John chapter 6. We have the great example of Jesus as He lived here on this earth. John chapter 6 and verse 38. Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven," John 6 verse 38, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." Chapter 8 of John and verse number 50. Jesus again is saying, "And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth." You know, as you think about the life of Christ here on this earth, it was never about Himself. Jesus lived a surrendered life. Jesus was the greatest example of what it means to be surrendered in every area of our life. He was tempted in all points, like as us, yet without sin. Chapter 8, verses 28 and 29 of John, I believe it is. John 8, 28 and 29. Then said Jesus unto them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." Again, a wonderful example of surrender. My heart is full this morning as I think about the Father that God gave me and the father-in-law that God gave me. And as I think about their life as I know it, I've known my dad, obviously, since I was old enough to remember. I've known my father-in-law for many years, but especially close in the last 17 years, being married to his daughter. But as I look at my dad and my father-in-law, and as I think about surrender, you know, I watched my dad take my sister to the hospital the first time when she had a brain tumor. I watched him be the pillar of the home as she fought cancer for 3 years. I watched him at her grave as a young 16-year-old boy, an example of surrender. I've watched my father-in-law in the last 17 years slowly lose his mobility more and more. Yet an example of surrender. His testimony is clear. He loves the Lord more today than he did probably 20 years ago when he could walk the ridge of a roof and set trusses and put on shingles. An example of surrender. How can you and I be a surrendered father today? How can we be a surrendered young person? Wherever you find yourself, maybe you did not have a dad that was a good example of surrender, but I thank God that I did. Proverbs chapter 20. As we try to pull this into some practical points for us as fathers this morning, or us as people, as Christians, wherever you find yourself, Proverbs 20 is a very familiar scripture, and it speaks it speaks to a lot of different areas of life. And we want to look at it again as we think about a surrendered father. Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. We're going to start in verse 6 here as we make a practical application of a surrendered father this morning. It says, but a faithful man who can find, or a faithful young person, or a faithful grandma or grandpa, or maybe you've never had children. Is God able to find you a faithful man? Faithful gives us the idea of being trustworthy, of being established, of being stable, of being someone that's a pillar in someone else's life. Nehemiah chapter 7. We've got a number of scriptures to look at this morning. I'd like to take the time to read them. Nehemiah chapter 7. We're starting here in verse number 1. We know the story well. Again, a so familiar story. Nehemiah 7 and verse 1. Now it came to pass when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani, and Hanani the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. It says here, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch and everyone to be over against his house. Now the city was large and great, and the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. We have a man here that was given a charge over Jerusalem. It says because he was a faithful man and he feared God above many. He was surrendered in his life. People could see that he was a person that was surrendered to God above many. Excuse me. He was a faithful man. He was a man that had a proper view of who God was and of the government of that time and what he was called to do. He was a man that would not oppress nor abuse his authority, but act in all things as one who had the fear of God continually before his eyes, unquote. He was a faithful man. And as we think about fathers being an authority, you know, our level of authority can really be no higher than our level of submission or surrender. Is that right, dear people, this morning? The more authority God gives us, the more surrendered and submitted we need to be as fathers, as husbands, as leaders. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. It says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Qualifications for a surrendered man, a surrendered father, shall abound with all blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall be innocent. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And the point I want to see here is, in this call to be faithful, in this call to be surrendered, there is things we are asked to manage. We have to look over things. We have to oversee things. And that is a definition of the word steward here. Am I being faithful in the leadership that where God has placed me in my home, in this church, where you find yourself this morning, are you a faithful man? Are you a surrendered father or grandfather, husband or young person? It says a faithful man who can find. The psalmist says in Psalm 12 in verse 1, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." You know, that is kind of the headlines in our country today, is the godly man is no more. The faithful man is a failure. And may that not be in our church this morning. And as we guard the evil influences of the world, may it not be that the crisis of our church is a lack of fathers. May we be as Hananiah and be faithful and fear God. Back to Proverbs chapter 20. That's going to be our text, so keep your thumb there as we go to other scriptures. Proverbs chapter 20. Be a man of understanding. Be a father that cares enough to think through things before you make assumptions, that understands the heart of your children, the heart of your wife, the heart of the church. Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Proverbs 17:27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is an excellent spirit. Verse 28, let's just turn to that. Flip back two pages. Proverbs 17 and 27 and 28. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed as a man of understanding. You know, this morning, as fathers, as leaders, as husbands, we need to be men that understand who we're working with, our children, our wife, our church. He that hath knowledge spareth words, or doesn't jump to conclusions or assumptions, but is a man of understanding. It says he is an excellent spirit. Teachers need to know what they are teaching. We need to know what we are saying and how we are portraying it with our words. Do we have an excellent spirit? When we watch our tongue and our tone, much is gained. When we are teaching and training our children, our young people, whether we're in the schoolhouse, wherever we're at, the Bible says to provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2, in verse 24, we have some instruction here that I believe we need to pay attention to. 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2 and verse 24. It says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." Apt to teach gives us the idea of being instructive, being careful how we lay the groundwork for what we're trying to say. Be a man of understanding. Be a man. Be a father that is surrendered. Deuteronomy, back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6. As we continue this thought of being understanding in our teaching and the way we conduct ourselves and how our homes are, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. I like to see this verse as a husband, or as a father, as a home that lives out the principles of God's Word so carefully that it's just like it's written on their children's hands and arms, and they're carrying mottos around that tell them who their parents love, and who is Lord of their home. Bind them, teach them, talk about them, live them, be them. What kind of teaching program do I have for my family as a father? What kind of teaching program do you have as a father? Am I teaching diligently? Do I even have the time takes to walk and to teach and to be this man of understanding, or am I too busy? You know, we can bring a lot of things into day-to-day living. We can take our sons to work with us. We can work with our daughters in the kitchen or in the garden, or we can go take a walk, or we can do a lot of things. And we can discuss teachings, principles of God's Word. Do we take the time to do that? To show and to tell about the love of God, the power of God, the nature of God? Do our children hear their names in prayer daily? Do we teach them how to pray? How is our family order? Do we answer those many questions they may have? Am I a man of understanding? Am I a father of understanding? Am I living a surrendered life? Verse 7 of Proverbs 20, be trustworthy. Verse 7, it says, the just man walketh in his integrity. The psalmist says, let's flip back to the book of Psalms, to Psalm 26. I would like to read several verses here. Psalm 26, verses 1 through 12. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. Am I open and honest before God and man? Is there anything in my heart and life that's not surrendered? It says to judge me, O Lord. It says to examine me. It says to prove me and try my reins. Is my life a surrendered example to my family? Am I trustworthy? Do I walk in truth? Am I stable? Am I known as a man of integrity? Am I known as a man that whose feet is planted in an even place? Do people even have to wonder where I'm at on the issues of right and wrong when it comes to the scriptures, when it comes to what we stand for? Do people even have to wonder? Am I trustworthy? Am I surrendered? Number 4, we need to be humble. In verse number 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Now, I'd like to go back to the book of Matthew in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 4. We have a picture here that never ceases to amaze me as I try to wrap my hands around it. Matthew 18 and verse 4, it says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be humble as we think about a surrendered father? What does it mean? What does it look like? Psalmist says in Psalm 131, 1 and 2, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Verse 2, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. As you think about humility flowing out of your heart and life this morning as a husband, as a father, and as a leader, you know, I believe there are so many problems in our homes because us men simply have got too much pride in our lives. Be humble. Be surrendered. A surrendered father doesn't have room for a proud bone in his body. Am I willing to put others ahead of myself? Am I willing to be not built up and sometimes, yes, even be put down? And am I willing to do things for people without expecting anything in return? Am I surrendered? True humility means acknowledges your weakness and strengths, accepts advice from others, admits when you're wrong, offers and accepts forgiveness, and doesn't gloat or criticize when you are right. I believe that is a test of humility. Proverbs 29 and verse 23, it says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. James 4 verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, it says, and he shall lift you up. Are you pursuing humility in your life, wherever you find yourself, whatever circumstance you're in this morning? Whether you're a father, are you pursuing humility in the sight of the Lord? Are you allowing Him to lift you up? Jesus was, again, our greatest example as He was here on earth. And He dealt with a lot of things that I believe fathers are called to deal with. Jesus was followed. And this morning, that if you're a father, you are followed. Somebody is looking at you. Somebody is watching you. Somebody is trying to put their foot in your steps. Fathers, this morning, we are followed. Jesus was looked up to. I don't know if there's anything more challenging than for a son or a daughter to look at their father for direction in any matter, whether spiritual, whether physical, whatever it is. But as they look to their father for help, for advice, for encouragement, can we humbly be that leadership? Can we be surrendered enough to be as a little child as we lead our children? Does that even make sense? But I think you know what I'm trying to say. We are called to provide for our families in need. Our children are brought to us. We are called to be leaders in our homes. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, yet humble, yet obedient. Isaiah 57, let's take the time to look back at that scripture. I'm sorry, look forward. Isaiah 57 and 15. Isaiah 57, 15 says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Notice what it says. It says, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Fathers, do you and I have the form of a servant as we lead our homes, as we lead our churches, as we lead our families, as we lead our young people? Do we have the heart or the form of a servant? We cannot be dictators. We can't be tyrants. We're not kings. We're not emperors. We're called to be humble, surrendered fathers. An humble father does not have it all figured out. He fully relies on Almighty God for the wisdom and ability to lead his home and guide his family. He is surrendered. Number five, we need to be an example. We find this back in our text of Proverbs 20 in verse number 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Somebody has said the church cannot build enough classrooms that will take the place of a godly dad and mom. Family is the primary classroom. His children are blessed after him. Speaks of an example of dad standing up on his own two feet and humbly and in a surrendered way showing his family by example. Another quote I have here, one of the best ways to correct your children is to correct the example that you're setting for them. Think about that, people, this morning as we think about the little ones on our laps, our young people sitting up here in the front. May we be that example God has called us to be. May I lead by example. Am I the father? Am I the person that I want my child to be? 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth," it says, "but be thou an example of the believers." And it goes on and it says, "in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And dear friends, this morning there's not a part of life that that doesn't cover. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example in every area of life, no matter where you find yourself this morning. We don't have time to pull these words apart, but maybe make it a personal study. Go to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12 and write this down and find out how you need to be in word, in conversation, in charity. Be an example in your life, in your conduct, in your conversation, and in your spirit. Number six, be a righteous father. We find this back in the first part of verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. Just has the meaning of righteous. Psalm 37, 16 says, A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Think about that as you think about your life and what is your interest and what takes your time. Proverbs 10, verse 11 says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life." A surrendered father is a righteous father. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. This is 1 John 3 and verse 7. This word righteousness, it carries the idea of character. It's who you are. It's what you're made of. It's who I am. Am I a father of character? Let's go back to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 1. We have some incredible words here. "The Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." God was telling Noah, "In thee," or "for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." You know, as we consider fathers, as we consider being that surrendered husband, that role model, that example, all of what we talked about this morning. Could the Lord say of me, "For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation"? There is a great need of righteous fathers in our country. There's a great need of righteous fathers in our churches and in our homes. And I pray that God would bless you today as you seek to be surrendered in your heart and in your life as a husband, as a father, and wherever you may find yourself this morning. The history behind this hymn, "I Surrender All," It was written by a man by the name of Judson Van Deventer. And it says this man struggled for 5 years between his career and ministry. He struggled for 5 years. And it says he finally surrendered to full-time ministry. And he was at the home of a fellow evangelist, and he wrote the words, "I surrender all," based on his surrendering to God's plan in his life. And I just want to leave that as a challenge. Where may you find yourself this morning, whether young or whether old, whether a father or whether a mother, could you write a song based on your surrendering to God's plan for your life? Tomorrow is the anniversary of this man's death. July 17, 1939 is when he died. And it says as he was on his deathbed with a smile on his face, it says that he sang these words, "I surrender all," on his deathbed. Is that going to be what is flowing out of my heart and out of my life when God calls me home? May we be fathers who are surrendered this morning. Shall we stand for prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the beauty of the day. Thank you for the privilege of worship. Thank you for the spirit of worship for each part of this service here today. Thank you, Lord, for being able to gather together and sing together and praise your name. Thank you for what Gerald shared in the devotions as he laid a foundation for this message. Lord, thank you for the Sunday school teacher and each one that taught today. Lord, may you bless this day, and may be a day that brings honor and glory to your name. Lord, this morning, would you bless each father that is in this building this morning? Lord, you know our hearts. You know our motives. You know our thoughts. You know where we're weak. You know where we're strong. Lord, may we lift our hearts and our lives to you today. Lord, may we want with all our heart to be surrendered in every detail and moment of our life. Lord, give us courage and strength to change where we need to change. A willingness to be open and surrendered in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, this morning I pray for each mother as they consider their life and their role in the home. May you bless each one in a special way. Give them courage also to be surrendered to you. May they be surrendered to what you have allowed and to where they find themselves this morning. Lord, we pray for the little ones sitting on the laps of mom and dad this morning. Lord, as they are not at that age of accountability, but as they look and as they notice and as they see and hear mom and dad, may you bless them with a desire to love and to serve you. Pray for our children and our young people here this morning, Lord. A special blessing on them as their life rolls out in front of them. There's so many questions they don't know, Lord. There's so many concerns and maybe fears they have. May you guide them, may you direct them, and may they also find themselves surrendered to your plan for their life. Be with the grandmas and the grandpas that are here this morning, Lord. Maybe as they're trying to find their way and their purpose and what you have for them, Lord, be with them. Give them courage. And Lord, we know the devil is after all of us. And I pray that you would also help them to be surrendered where God has them and his plan for their life. Lord, I pray for the further day. May you bless our time together afterwards, and may our fellowship bring honor and glory to your name as well. In Jesus' name, amen.